The formation team reads: The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. Welcome, everyone, to the 11th episode of The Formation Team Reads: The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. My name is Jonah Brandley, and I am your host for this season of the podcast. To all of our first-time listeners, thank you for tuning in. Before you listen on, though, I will direct you to listen to our first podcast. In that one, we go over the expectations for the podcast and how one is to listen to the series. To all of our returning listeners, welcome back. Let's get comfortable as we dive into Chapter 11 of The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. At the beginning of the chapter, we see the witch's entourage prepare her sleigh for a long journey. Edmund realizes that he is still hungry, so he asked the witch if he could have some more of the Turkish delight he was promised on his return. She snaps at him, and then realizes that he does need to be fed, and has her dwarf give him stale bread and water. He reluctantly eats it after being scared into submission by the queen and her henchmen. As she boards her sleigh, she attends the wolves, her personal bodyguards, to make haste to the beaver's house, and, if they don't find the children there, to go to the stone table. They run full speed from the castle, and she, the dwarf, and Edmund all take off in the opposite direction. It was only until now that Edmund realized that he made a terrible mistake and longed to be back with his siblings and the beavers. He was remorseful for his wrongdoings and wanted to pretend that this was just a dream that he would soon wake up from. All three go on for a distance until they meet a group of animals sharing a feast and celebrating with each other. The witch was furious and asked where they all got the food from. The fox, the oldest in the group, said they got it from Father Christmas. She becomes furious and commands them to tell her it was a lie and all will be forgiven. The smallest stammers that it was no lie. Father Christmas actually came and delivered the food to them. Before they could finish their thought, the witch turns the whole party into stone, and Edmund starts to feel sorry for them, which, in turn, was the first time he has ever felt sorry for someone in his life. As they continue on their journey, the sleigh starts to jerk and eventually stop in the snow. The witch commands both the dwarf and Edmund to help push them out of the dry patch they were in, and when Edmund leaves, he notices the sound of rushing water behind him, which, needless to say, is very unusual in the middle of winter. The two push the sleigh to the ground, and they all start again. Almost immediately, the sleigh stops again, this time for good. The queen decides to abandon the sleigh and have the three of them walk to their destination, this time restraining Edmund with a leash and occasionally whipping him like the reindeer they used earlier. As the chapter ends, Edmund and the dwarf notice signs of the snow thawing and wildlife coming out again. "This is spring. What are we to do? Your winter has been destroyed, I tell you. This is Aslan's doing," says the dwarf, and the witch warns them that if either of them says the name of Aslan again, they will immediately be put to death. In this chapter, we see the thawing of Narnia and the witch losing patience with her subjects. In this new thaw, we also see the heart of Edmund begin to thaw as the winter begins to thaw away. As Aslan returns to Narnia, the witch starts to lose power over those she previously had control over. It is only until Aslan begins to return to the forest that Edmund begins to reflect on his actions and how badly he treated the rest of his siblings. By doing this, the witch's power over Edmund begins to weaken, and, in reflection, the winter starts to give way to spring. This is also true in the case of our own lives. One of the only ways for someone to come to repentance and start to realize their own wrongs is if there is a force of good in their lives that is more powerful than their own faults. In the words of Dr. Martin Luther King, "Hate cannot drive out hate. Only love can do that." The love that is shown in the Gospels have the power to drive out all types of hate, and it is with that love that we can make an impact on other people's lives. Thank you so much, everyone, for joining me for the 11th episode of the series. Without a doubt, this has been my favorite chapter in the book so far. In the meantime, let me leave you with a few questions for you to discuss with your friends and family. Number 1. Have you ever noticed instances where you could complete an objective better with kindness than with anger or frustration? Number 2. Has an act of kindness ever kept you from driving over the edge? This officially marks the end of the chapter. In the next episode, we will finally meet Aslan the Lion. Will he be all that he's cracked up to be? Find out in the next episode of The Formation Team Reads, The Lion, The Witch, and The Wardrobe.